Our text is simply one verse, the final verse of the chapter, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Short message tonight concerning the subject of the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, again, hear God's holy and infallible word tonight. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There are some sins that are worse than other sins, and some sins will receive a greater degree of punishment. We looked at that theme the last time we were in our sermon series that are informed by the shorter catechism. But even though there are some sins that are worse than other sins, and there are some sins that will receive a greater judgment, it is nevertheless still the case that all sin is still sin. And therefore, the 84th question of the Shorter Catechism, and you have it there in the introduction on your outline this evening, the 84th question asks, what does every sin deserve? And answers, every sin deserves God's wrath and curse, both in this life and that which is to come. And in this question, we come to really what we might consider to be the final nail in the coffin of man's need for a Savior. In other words, having worked through the fall of man, having considered our guilt and our sinfulness in Adam, and just recently, having looked at the probing and the condemning nature of the law of God, we come to the final installment of why we need a Savior, and that is because we are sinners, and every sin deserves God's wrath and curse, both in this life and that which is to come. And so very simply put, we need a Savior because without one, we will receive the wrath and curse of God. It's that simple. The first thing that we need to consider is really a question maybe that we should ask, and that is, how bad is the wrath and curse of God? Although it is hard for us to imagine, and because it is hard for us to imagine, it is therefore hard for us to believe. The wrath and curse of God is eternal, and it is unspeakably, they are unspeakably horrific. It is often said that heaven will be infinitely better than anything we could ever hope for. But it is just as true in the negative sense that hell will be infinitely worse than anything we could ever fear. And this is not because God is some cosmic sadist who has been eternally trying to think up various forms of torture techniques so that sinners will suffer forever. This is the case because humanity was not designed to exist. Humanity was not designed to live out of communion and fellowship with our Creator. In other words, we were made to be in holy communion and fellowship with God. We were made to be in a loving relationship of mutual love and joy. Our lives are only whole. Indeed, we only have life. We only function rightly when we are in God's favor and in His love. And God's wrath and curse is the opposite of being in His favor and in communion and fellowship with Him. And why it is unimaginable to conceive of the pain and the torture of an existence in hell is because no mere human has ever actually experienced that state of existence. Even in rank rebellion, and even in sinfulness in this life, even though some aspects of the wrath and curse of God are in this life beginning to be felt by some who are in rebellion against God, even in this life, even when, in a sense, someone is in utter darkness in this life, it is still not a total absence of all of the goodness and kindness and grace of God. In fact, it can be said with great accuracy that this life is as close to hell as anybody who ends up going to heaven will ever get. But conversely, this life is as close to heaven as anyone that is going to hell will ever experience as well. And therefore, as pain and suffering and horror have come by way of our move away from God and our move towards sin, and in that sense they are a first fruits. The pain and suffering of this world is really the first fruits of hell. We can only expect hell to be infinitely worse than anything we can suffer here, because hell will be the full inheritance of the wages of sin. Which then brings us to consider next this evening, how have we come to deserve the wrath and the curse of God? The wrath and curse of God will be infinitely worse than anything that we can imagine. And frankly, we have only tonight dealt with the negative aspect of hell. In other words, that void, that absence of God's kindness and fellowship. We haven't even touched on that positive and active punishment of our sin that hell will also involve. And so we must conclude that hell is as bad as it could possibly be. It is going to be bad beyond imagination. But how are we in such a place that without a Savior we are under this horrific reality and we will inherit this awful destiny? What has happened that we've come to be there? Well, in a word, the Scriptures teach we are in that state because we have earned it. That's what Paul is saying in our passage this evening. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. In other words, these were the terms of the agreement between God and Adam in the Garden of Eden. And these are the terms that have determined your fate as well. Sin is lawlessness. And as Paul is teaching here, lawlessness, your sin, actually earns a wage. The works of darkness or sin or unrighteousness actually earn a reward, or they earn a payment or a wage. And that wage, what is owed to that work, is death. Now, death is commonly used throughout the Bible to describe that state of curse under God's law that breaking it gains us. And when the term death is used, it generally, especially when It's used in terms of a spiritual import. It's used to mean physical death. It's used to mean spiritual death. And it's used to mean eternal death. It's kind of an all-encompassing way of talking about all of those things. In other words, death equals hell. That's what the Bible means when it is talking about death. Or sometimes it talks about it as the second death. As we considered last Lord's Day evening when we were considering the letter to the church of Smyrna. Again, we were only designed, though, to live in relationship with God. That is the only way humanity was made to live and to function and to flourish. And when we cut ourselves off from God by sinning against Him, which is to live contrary to His nature and His being, when we cut ourselves off from that and when we sin, we will die. And the further and the further that we move away from God, the further and further into death we plunge. The more and more painful life will become. And it will finally culminate in the hell of fire forever. And what Paul is teaching us here is that it is as proportional as an employment contract. You might strike a deal with an employer to earn $10 an hour for work, and therefore if you work 5 hours, you are entitled to $50. That's what you earned. And so it is that sin earns death. And that is exactly what happened in the garden as soon as Adam and Eve sinned. God told Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, and that's when the terms were laid down, "In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." If you disobey my law, if you sin, if you transgress my law, you will die. That is what your sin will earn. That's what your transgression will earn you. And the day that they ate of it, God came to them in the garden, in a sense, to settle the wages. That day that God came was judgment day. Or, in the terms that we're talking about, we might call it was payday. They died spiritually. They would have died physically if God had not taken the life of a substitute. He took the life of an animal instead, clothing them with the skins of the slain animal, and they would have begun their eternal term in hell. They would have begun that second death if God had not responded to their sin graciously, promising them a Savior, which brings us tonight to the final question that we want to consider, and that is, how can we earn something different then? If the wages of our sin will earn us death, how can we then earn something different? The wrath and curse of God is to be feared above all else in life or in death. It is the due for our sin. It is what your wrongdoing has earned you. It is the wage you will receive for your works of unrighteousness. And thus it would seem natural and it would seem somewhat desperate that we ask that the question, can we get out of these terms then? Is there some way we can get out of this contract? And can we earn something different for ourselves? But the answer to that question is a resounding, and it is a humbling no. You cannot earn another state other than the estate of sin. You cannot earn anything other than the wrath and the curse that your sin deserves. And this is gloriously brought out in our passage here. Notice how Paul contrasts these two terms. The wages of sin equals, and you should have it right there in your passage, the wages of sin equals death. The free gift of God equals eternal life. You see it there, and it is so clear. Although the wages of sin is death, Paul does not teach that the wages of obedience is life. That would seem logical, I think, to us, but that is not how it works. At least that is not how it works pertaining to us individually. Salvation is not a reward for our work. It is not the wage that our work can ever earn. It is not something that we can merit. Again, it's not something we can earn. It is entirely and it is completely, as our passage says, it is a free gift of God. Indeed, one has said, man has rights only in relation to sin. And these rights become his judgment. You're only in a contract in this sense when it comes to your sin. And the wages of your sin are death. Man has rights only in relation to sin, and these rights become his judgment when he throws himself on God without claim. Salvation comes to him. In other words, when we come to God and merely with our hands open receive an undeserved gift of grace, that's how salvation comes. Nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling. And that is because salvation is in Christ Jesus, as Paul says here, Christ Jesus, our Lord. In fact, in one very real sense, eternal life is actually the reward of obedience. But it is not our obedience. It is the obedience of another. Even Jesus, who has won that gift that we are given freely from God. And so we need a Savior because we are sinners. We need to be saved from the wrath and curse of God because the wages of sin is death, and that is speaking of that eternal damnation, that the eternal hell of fire that our sin is owed. And therefore, according to our passage tonight, really rejoice, actually, because the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. We get what we don't deserve as a gift of his grace, because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing in response to this glorious truth. Our Father in heaven, you have given us a salvation entirely and purely of grace. We see that. You've revealed that so clearly to us in your word, and we rejoice tonight in that gift of salvation that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, that gift of eternal life. Father, we are humbled and we are ashamed that our sin deserves and should be paid with the wage of death. But Father, we are so thankful tonight that our Savior Jesus took those wages for us and paid that penalty in our place. Father, we pray that as we walk each day and as we struggle with sin that still clings to us, that we would not fall to the temptation to think that we can earn our good graces with you, that we can earn ourselves into favor with you, but that you would return us again and again to the glorious gospel with open hands, humbly receiving the free gift of salvation that you give us in Christ. Lord, keep us there, keep us abiding in him. Keep us humbly receiving that gift of grace. We do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.